Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we will review the fourth album from Sturgill Simpson, Sound and Fury. It's an album that he collaborated with a Japanese anime director to put out a movie at the same time as this record. But first, a classic album dissection of Fugazi's 1990 album, Repeater.
One, two, three, Repeater!
Now, some people may be saying, classic album, Fugazi, who? But for a generation or more of punk and post-punk and young independent musicians, this album is a holy grail.
You take Guy Picciotto and Brendan Canty, guitarist and drummer of the proto-emo band Rites of Spring, a Motown superfan and bassist Joe Lally, and Discord Records founder and Minor Threat leader Ian MacKaye, put them together as a band and you get Fugazi.
It was a powerful combination that became a creative powerhouse for more than a decade and went on to sell millions of records.
From an American point of view, I think no single artist did more to advance the cause, shape the ethics, or define the aesthetic of punk rock than Ian MacKaye.
Yeah, I would find that hard to argue with. I mean, first with Minor Threat. When the initial punk moment in New York peters out, the Ramones and the Talking Heads and television, you know, where does this thing go next?
Right.
Along comes Minor Threat, and that scene in Washington, D.C., Discord Records, it's an independent label, it's a lifestyle, it's an ethos, it's a sound, Minor Threat's at the heart of it, he's a superstar, what, and he's barely in his 20s,
right.
And then it's over.
Sometimes, you know, when you want a nice picture, you got to pull the shutter, and that's it, right? And and Minor Threat can always be just that. You know, we represent a really specific time,
yeah.
And, you know, and those are the songs. That's it. There's nothing else. So it's all there.
That's Ian MacKaye in a recent conversation we had with him about Repeater and about Fugazi's legacy. And we're going to hear parts of that conversation throughout the show. But when it came to Minor Threat calling it quits, he wasn't nostalgic at all.
It seemed wise, and I think it's been proven by time, that just to knock it on its head and let people go do what they wanted to do. Like, we just didn't agree on which direction to go. And,
yeah.
and it wasn't that anybody was going in the wrong direction necessarily.
You know, it was an incredible moment. Washington, D.C. punk, like other regional scenes around the country, there was no built-in infrastructure to release these records. So you had to create your own. So Discord Records comes along because Ian MacKaye and his friend at the time, Jeff Nelson, with whom he formed a little punk band in the late 70s named the Teen Idles. That's I-D-L-E-S. Said, okay, how do we get this record out? Well, we'll have to create our own label, I guess. And they literally put this record out on their own. I mean, the band members themselves cut, folded, and glued the record packaging on that 7-inch that they put out called Minor Disturbance in 1980. The band only released a few recordings, then broke up. Then, as you said, the band that everybody talks about, Minor Threat, creating the sound called hardcore. Jim, we should give our listeners a thumbnail.
This was back to basics. Take out all melody. take out everything extraneous and play as fast and loud and hard as possible. It is the height of the Reagan era. We are angry about that. And there's this new culture of young kids who had not been there for the Sex Pistols, Ramones, CBGB, 76, 77. You know, we want a sound, and the sound is super aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the dancing matches, slam dancing, the mosh pit. I'm going to hardcore matinees at CBGB on Saturday because it was all ages, right? And it was $5, and it was 20 bands, and it lasted an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All these little cities outside of the major areas. I mean, New York and L.A. had their own scenes, but, you know, you go to Washington, D.C., you go to Hoboken, you go to Chicago, you've got hardcore scenes in those cities. In Washington, D.C., you had Minor Threat, but you also had Bad Brains, who were a huge influence on the young Ian MacKaye, and Youth Brigade, and Government Issue, and Scream. They had a scene. By 83, MacKaye had felt that the scene had sort of played itself out, at least in his mind. You know, how do we go forward from this?
In 1984, you know, people were trying to figure out what to do, because in Washington at that point, yes, there was some issues in terms of, like, what was going on at the shows. There was some really moronic behavior. A lot of people we knew were saying, like, I just want to be a part of this. There's so many, like, kids are just want to beat people up, or people were just sort of starting to flee the ship. And I think some of us thought, well, you know, we need to just respond by making something, you know, just do something.
And then he happened to produce a band by the name of Rites of Spring that was coming out with Geep Shoto and Brendan Canty, future members of what would be Fugazi. He produces that record, that debut record by Rites of Spring, and there's something different happening in that record that sort of separates it a little bit from that hardcore pack. There's more introspection in the lyrics. Melody is starting to return to the songwriting. So you're getting a different flavor of what punk could represent in the Washington, D.C. scene.
People who care about the narrow slicing and dicing and labeling of music cite Rites of Spring, and to some degree Fugazi, as emo or screamo, not quite, you know, what would become emo, sensitive boys with guitars pining about their lost loves. But there is this new consciousness. You know, post-Reagan, nobody knows where the 90s are going. You know, it will turn out to be a very optimistic time. We'll have Bill Clinton and we'll have the tech boom beginning. And, you know, but there also are still all the problems that were there at the height of the Reagan era. And we're all confused and we don't know what's next. That to me is lyrically, thematically, I hate that E word.
I've seen Fugazi referred to as post-hardcore, you know, post that, you know, you put a post on it and that means it's something different. But clearly they were trying to innovate.
There was, you know, part of the hardcore scene, it was problematic. It was homophobic. It could be parts of it.
It
could be racist. Obviously, the Bad Brains are people of color. It could be bullying and thuggish and very non-inviting for women. Fugazi is spitting in the face of all that and embracing racial diversity, gender diversity, creating safe spaces. It is turning its back at the point that Fugazi enters on a lot of what had become bad about hardcore or post-punk.
While preserving what was good about it, which was essentially that do-it-yourself DIY aesthetic. You know, we're going to put these records out ourselves. We don't need these major corporations to help us, which started to become an issue when Fugazi put out that debut album, Repeater, in April of 1990. Now, prior to that, they had put out a couple of EPs, self-titled and Margin Walker in 1989, which got them noticed. I am a patient boy. I wait. My time to want to start a train. Everybody move. Please don't leave me to remain. Live away from the nerve. This was the band built around Ian MacKaye, as well as Brendan Canty and Guy Peixoto from Rites of Spring. And then the bassist was Joe Lally. And this was basically the core essence of that band for the next decade that made that debut album. I think, Jim, the key to Repeater, this debut album that came out in 1990 by Fugazi, was the way MacKaye was. He was initially the guy in that band. He was writing the songs, singing the vocals. He's the biggest name in DC punk, and it's his band.
Underground icon.
Right.
But he puts his foot down. This is going to be a democracy.
Right.
This is four equal people.
We told people, all the flyers, you can't put X Minor Threat on the flyer, you know. Or if you do, you have to put X Minor Threat, X Righteous Spring, X Pitbull, which is Joe's band, you know. Or if you put my name and you had to put everybody else's name. The idea was to so that we could become a band and to grow it that way.
And that was really important. And Guy picked up the guitar around 1989-90 and started contributing to the music, not only as a vocalist, but as a songwriter and as a guitar player.
We did the first show as a three-piece. We had been trying to get Guy to come into the band, but he was really reticent because he didn't see a place for himself. So we kept saying, like, well, you could do anything you want. Like, the original idea of Fugazi, that it was sort of an open, we would just have different guest musicians all the time. I was just trying to make something that was going to be peculiar. So we were trying to get Guy to do stuff. Our next couple of shows, he would roadie for us. And, you know, I said, just sing backups, do anything. So he started singing backups. He was in the crowd, then he was on the side of the stage, and then he starts to move, you know, he's singing backups and he has a lead, and it just continues to develop that way.
I think that's when the Fugazi sound really took shape, and I think that's what's the essence of Repeater.
All these songs were written with two guitars, and that was starting in January of 89. And we just, as soon as he started playing guitar, it just was, and Brendan would just bring in these ideas, and with the two guitars, it just was like, I think everyone just suddenly felt like they were fully a part of the operation. Not that it was such a terrible thing just to do my songs, but literally that we were all writing together. And when I listen to these songs, it's funny because sometimes I wonder, like, who wrote this, who wrote that? And I don't know. Like, I think maybe Brendan wrote this part or I wrote this part. I remember certain things about the songs. But it was really just the fact the four of us were playing music together, we were off to the races.
Yeah.
And this record really is a reflection of that particular, of that change in the scenery. We talked a lot in practice. That's the way we would practice. We would just sit in the basement at Discord House, and it's super intimate. We would just play and play and play and talk and talk and talk. And we could play for 4 hours and just keep working on things. I would still bring in these songs, but eventually everything was instrumental. We wrote instrumentals. We were an instrumental band who then iced it with some lyrics later on. She's not coming. I play guitar all the time, and I write music all the time, and I know what my songs are about, but I cannot put that into words. That's why I'm striking like the wires with the pick, right? Literally cannot put into words. Once I have a song sort of arranged, then I want to present it to other people, and I feel like, oh, you know what? For people to understand, to have a connection with the song, I need to add some kind of language to it that will indicate the sort of significance of the music to me, you know. And I mean, I stand behind every lyric. There's no question that, like, it wasn't as if I was like, oh, here's some, you know, cool sounding things I'm going to sing on. No, they're about things, and I meant it, and I mean it. She's not
breathing. We'll hear more from Ian MacKay when we continue our classic album dissection of Fugazi's Repeater. After the break, we'll look at the record's lyrical themes and its lasting influence on music. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.